Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Speaking of the finance world, coming up after the news, we will have the founder of the Vanguard Group, the legendary John Bogle, who will weigh in on the mutual funds and capitalism of today and his dissatisfactions with them. Also coming up tomorrow, we have Alice Rivlin and Pete Domenici together, both co-chairs of the Independent Deficit Commission, on how to close a $1.5 trillion hole without destroying our quality of life. We have the Democrat, Alice Rivlin, who used to work for Clinton, and the former Republican Senator, Pete Domenici, both of them coming on together. So that ought to be really interesting on tomorrow's show. Now, we were talking about the design competition for taxi of the future. I think we need a design competition for artist housing policy of the future in this area. There is a city zoning law dating back at least three decades that says only city-certified artists can live in certain former industrial spaces, basically those sprawling lofts that we picture Soho artists living in. But it seems that everyone, including brokers, banks, co-op boards, and even the city, have been winking at the working artist's rule for years as real estate boomed and the price tags on these big lofts steadily increase. But suddenly this year, people are paying attention to this artisan residency requirement. Plus, the city seems to be cracking down on the number of people that get this working artist certification. And it seems to make no sense since these things go for often millions of dollars. So with us here now to talk about the law, why it's suddenly being enforced, and the shrinking number of new city-certified artists is Christine Hawney, Metro reporter for the New York Times, who wrote this up. Hey, Christine, welcome to WNYC Today.
Hi, thank you.
So what has changed? What does the law say exactly, and why the sudden crackdown?
What the law requires is that if you're going to live in a Soho or NoHo loft, and it is the vast majority of buildings in those neighborhoods, you have to be a certified artist, which means you have to have proven to the city, you have to apply and show that you've done work that has been presented, has been reviewed, you have to have done work in the last 5 years, you can't be an older artist who hasn't worked in many years, and then when you get approval, then you can buy or rent in one of these, you know, often pricey Soho and NoHo buildings.
And today?
Today it is being kind of, you know, required even more than ever. And it isn't just for new artists moving in. Some artists I talk to have lived in these buildings for decades, but perhaps their building is having work done or a neighboring building is having work done and Department of Buildings has said, okay, you need to update your certification. Mm. Maybe you said you're an artist years ago. I want to know you're an artist today and I want you to be certified.
So are non-artists getting evicted from lofts they own?
They're not getting evicted that we know of so far. What is happening is that it's holding up any sales of real estate. Non-artists are having trouble getting refinancing, and they are calling the Times and saying, I can't get a loan because I'm not an artist, even though I'm a highly financially qualified person. So it's affecting the actual, you know, changing of any hands of real estate down there.
So it's affecting prices, I guess, as well.
Absolutely, yes, it is affecting prices.
You mean there are bargains in Soho now?
I wouldn't say they're bargains because they had such a, you know, rapid rise in real estate. I mean, in Soho, real estate is incredibly valuable. I mean, things in the multi-millions. But one apartment that I wrote about, they got an initial offer of $8.2 million, and then the buyer was told by his attorney to walk away because he wasn't a certified artist. So he did, and that was cut significantly into the $6 million range and is now being rented because they just can't get someone who is a certified artist to pay that price.
What are the rents? What are the sale prices for the kinds of lofts in Soho we're talking about? Because I guess this artist's requirement applies to both rentals and sales, right?
Absolutely, yeah. These are extraordinary rents and extraordinary prices. This is not the, you know, well-intentioned purist artist starting out who can afford these. I believe the apartment that I wrote about this, you know, this past week, did rent, but it rented for something like $19,000 a month. So we're talking about, you know, old artist lofts that used to rent for $300 a month that sold for, you know, next to nothing when they were just original lofts in the 70s are all in the kind of multi-million dollar price range.
So listeners, we want to hear from you on this. If it affects you directly or indirectly, do you own a loft? Are you trying to buy or sell or renovate one? How might this artisan residency crackdown affect you, or are you an artist struggling to get city certification? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or leave a comment on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, and Chaim in NoHo is calling in on this. Chaim, thanks for calling.
Hello, Brian. I'm a resident in a artist's loft, and I've seen this wonderful trade. I'm also an architect who actually works on legalizing some of these buildings. But I just want us to all consider that the 30 years of this policy and its evasion and its sporadic application is just a really enormous collaborative work of performance art between the city and the artists and the real estate industry and the bankers who've become artists and now suddenly are no longer artists. The same way that our school chancellor can be a magazine executive.
What do you think?
It's a theatrical experience, and it's an absurd charade.
What do you think they should do?
I think what they should do is, since the city is run by a businessman, the businessman should acknowledge that artists and creative people participate in developing real estate by creating districts that are vibrant and livable, and they do this in many ways, but they're always the victims of the real estate evaluation and rarely are the beneficiaries. So this strange, I guess, when it was undertaken, this virtuous attempt to write that hasn't worked except for the very few.
Chaim, thank you. And I'm going to leave it there to get some other folks on in our limited time. But Christine Hawney from The Times, I mean, he's right. It's a catch-22. You have to be an artist to buy a Soho loft, but at seven figures, no artist this side of George Clooney can actually afford one.
Exactly.
Is the real crime here the lack of new affordable artist housing programs like the loft law once was?
Well, I mean, you have artists moving into new neighborhoods. So I didn't hear in my reporting of complaints about about a lack of access to affordable housing for artists. But there's definitely, you know, a laugh about, well, you know, they've just had to move on. They've moved on to other neighborhoods. And Soho is really not a community. It's not where artists go or young kind of artists starting out can really ever begin.
Ron in Sunset Park, you're on WNYC. Hey, Ron.
Hi. There are two aspects to the artist-in-residence program that are a little bit scary. One is that there is apparently no process for decertifying a person who got an artist-in-residency at one time. There's no process for saying this person's no longer an artist, because I've looked into that for clients. And the other thing is, it's a little bit scary that there's this opaque process to determine who is an artist and who is not. Because, you know, historically, very often the artists that we revere today were people who were out of favor at one time. And you have someone judging and saying, you're an artist today. You're too commercial. You're too much of a hobbyist. You're not doing what I consider to be art.
Right. Well, it's a great question. And, Christine, how do they do that? Like when I, you know, jokingly brought up George Clooney, somebody in the control room said, well, I think George Clooney actually might not qualify as a screen actor, even though John Bon Jovi, for example, who has one of these places, does.
Sure, absolutely. I think you're right. I don't think George Clooney would qualify as an artist by these standards because he would have to show that he needs his space to work and that he's physically using his Soho space to work.
Uh-huh.
So, for example, we foiled some of the documents to see who some of the rejected artists were, and if people were too commercial in their art, they were told they were rejected. Hobbyists were rejected. Andre Balazs, though, the hotelier, was accepted, and John Bon Jovi was accepted. It was not clear to us. We spoke to one sculptor who's been teaching for 30 years, and he was not considered a qualified artist and eventually withdrew his application. So it also has to do with your education. So you would have had to have kind of a fine art school training background. That's another thing that artists had said.
So John Bon Jovi would need it to what? Practice his loud rock music?
He would have to kind of show that he's using his home space to kind of create art. He would have had to submit something like 15 to 20 samples of his work. He would have had to be able to share reviews of his work.
But it's about the space. It's about needing the space for a band rehearsal or something like that as opposed to a screen actor?
The whole premise is that this is physical space you would use to, you know, practice or rehearse your art.
All right. Ben, in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is so relevant because I just signed a lease this weekend to move my studio and my home out of the East Village and to upstate New York. And myself and my peer group of artists, I'm about 34, so I've been showing for, there's a group of artists that's been showing and working in New York and internationally. My friends are showing. And for, the last 8 years, we are artists. This is what we do. And we're all leaving the city. I have many friends who are now trying to just get out of New York because there's nowhere cheap enough to live or work. And one other aspect I just wanted to say is I also teach at Cooper Union in the East Village. And where all the students used to be able to live close to the school, all the students have to commute in for an hour and a half, and their studio spaces or their living spaces are so far from the East Village because the East Village is not the center of arts anymore. It's the center of arts and arts and quotations, but artists can't live or work there.
Can I ask where the places are out of the city that people are, like you, are moving?
Cooper Union students? Northern Pennsylvania or, upstate New York, on the west side of the Hudson.
Right.
But there's a real exodus going on now, and I think it's dangerous for the city because New York is losing its cultural engine. Everybody's leaving.
Ben, thank you for your call. Jane at Mercer and Broome, you're on WNYC. Jane, we have 30 seconds for you.
Okay, thank you. What I can add to this conversation is that I've been here for 39 years, and as somebody who was married to a professional artist, all those years. Now there's a possible divorce proceeding, in which case the loft would be up for division, and that leaves us, people who found this area, and there are pitifully few of us left, we don't get the cash in on this marvelous, real estate boom. It's kind of like the barn is already burned down, but we still want to put back the cart and horse.
Jane, thank you. Christine Haney from the New York Times wrote about this artist in residency requirement newly being enforced again in Soho. We have 20 seconds left. You're right that there's still a tension between old Soho and new Soho, and that this is exacerbating that?
Yes, absolutely. One person who was asked by an old artist was asked by some of the newer real estate brokers to get rid of this, and he said, "No, the few artists that are left need some protections." So that's the one thing that is keeping these zoning regulations on the books. People want to protect the early pioneers and the early founders.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with this, and I think everybody agrees, if nothing else, there need to be new ways to accommodate artists with affordable housing who don't make as much money as John Bon Jovi or any famous screen actors who don't qualify. Christine, thanks a lot.
Thank you.